There was a little boy who walked into a church, and at the entrance of the church, he just stopped and he looked around and he saw this plaque, you know, and on this plaque was a whole load of names with various flags of countries. And he stood there, this little boy, and he was just watching. He was just gazed at this plaque with all these names. And the pastor noticed this little boy standing in the foyer and then went up to him and said, "Son, what are you looking at?" And he pointed and said, "I'm looking at this pastor." He said, "What is it?" And so the pastor said, "Well, you know, it's all those who have died in the service." And so the boy then, you know, kind of got a bit very quiet, and then he said in a quivering voice, "Pastor, was it the 9 o'clock service or the 10:30? So, it's good to start with a little joke, isn't it? Keep you smiling and relaxed. So you know I'm okay. Okay. So last week I spoke on this subject that actions speak louder than words. And I was calling the church to be a church of action. And on the 31st of October, we showed our community that we were a church of action, because we did something. On the 16th of December, we'll be showing that we are a church with some action. We want to do something for the community. And then I mentioned that our Christian walk must mirror that of Jesus Christ. His walk must be mirrored in our lives. It's then that we, when we desire to walk with Jesus, that people will see that we are children of the light and not children of darkness. But there is something about us. Have you noticed that when you've been around people in circles, in friends, in amongst friends, have you noticed that sometimes they do observe and they do note that there is a difference in you? Have they said that to you? Have they noticed that? Have they asked you that question? There's something different about you? I'm sure they have. Because there's something that's different about us when we are amongst our friends. It's because of the light of Jesus Christ. Because we have encountered the light. And when you encounter the light, darkness cannot stay where there is light. Light always dispels darkness. And people can see the light. You can't see in the dark. But you can see when this light is shining on me, you can see my face more clearly. And such is our lives. When the light of Jesus Christ shines through us, people can see the light. If they can't see the light, then there's a problem, isn't there? If they're seeing something else other than the light of Jesus Christ, there is a problem, there is an issue. So this morning I want to talk about what does it actually mean when we say live in the light, to live in the light of God, what does it actually mean? So I want to turn to your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 to 7. And it says this. This in essence, I'm reading for the message version. This in essence is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There is not a trace of darkness in him. Verse 6. If we claim that we experience a shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we are obviously lying through our teeth. I like that. In other words, it says that we are liars. If we are stumbling in the dark, trying to tell others that we are in the light, we are not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another. As the sanctified blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us or purges us from all our sin. Is that a beautiful scripture? If we say that we walk in the light and we are stumbling in the dark, we are lying through our teeth. But if we walk in the light, God Himself being the light, we experience a shared life with one another as the sacrificed blood of Jesus purges us from all sin. I just want to unpack this today and bring in something that will hopefully be meaningful today, that you can take something from this passage and apply it in your own lives. So Lord, I thank you this morning that you are the light, that you will shine your light in our lives today, that we will catch that which you want us to have today, that which is ready and prepared for us, that we will receive it right now by faith in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So often we find in Christian circles, when we refer to living in the light, we refer to living right or being on the right path or acting correctly, not doing anything wrong. But we know that there is more to it than just not doing anything wrong, than just acting correctly or staying on the right path. Walking in the light means this. It's to abandon or relinquish or put away all sin and the deeds of sin in our lives by following Jesus. That's what it means. To walk in the light means to put away all sin, all deeds of the flesh in our lives and follow Jesus. If you were here on Wednesday, Simon was teaching and he asked this question. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does a disciple look like? What does it mean when I say I am a disciple of Jesus? And it is exactly this, is which it means that when you follow Jesus in the light, you are his disciple. When you are following Jesus in the light, you are his disciple. Because Jesus is the light. And when you're following the light, Jesus himself, you are following him. You are his disciple. We know that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Hallelujah. All things, all the old has gone. The new is here to stay. All the old is gone. The new is here to stay. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if you're writing notes. We also see in the Old Testament the mention of walking in the light. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 5, there he's calling the house of Jacob to walk in the light. And we mention, and we the same mention, and we see the same thing mentioned in Psalm 89 and verse 15, to walk in the light. See, there's something about walking in the light that separates us from those who walk in darkness. There is a blessing when we walk in the light. There is God's favor when we walk in the light. You know, God does something in us. He renews us. He replenishes us when we walk in the light. Walking in the light for some can be laborious, but for those of us who really believe in Jesus, walking in the light is something that is joyful, because it keeps us from those things that the enemy tries to drag us down. It keeps us from the craftiness, the wiles of the enemy, the schemes, the plans, the maneuvers of the enemy. When we walk in the light, it helps us to guard ourselves against those things that the enemy will always try to throw into our lives. In the New Testament, we see Jesus declaring himself as the light of the world. John 8:12, I spoke on this last week. And he says, he who follows Jesus will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He who follows Jesus, anyone who follows Jesus, can walk in the light of life. And this walking is not just a one-time walk. It's a continuous walk. It's a walk where one's life changes. It impacts one's lifestyle. How many know that when you come to know Jesus, your lifestyle changes? What you did in the past gets buried. You don't go back to those things. Your lifestyle changes. Your habits change when you walk in the light, when you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's a continuous walk. It's a progressive walk. It's a daily walk with Jesus, not just on a Sunday. It's a daily walk. Many Christians pretend to walk with Jesus on a Sunday, but the rest of the week, they forget that their walk must continue in Jesus. And so we are not like that. From Monday to Sunday, our walk continues with Jesus. It is a continuous walk. It does not stop. It's like our living. It's like our breathing. Imagine if we stop breathing, we won't be here. It's like that, walking with Jesus. It's following him every day. It's following his leading, following his teaching, obeying his word, obeying his commandments. It's so important. When we say that we are following Jesus, what it means is that we are obeying God's word. See, often we find that even in Christian circles, they say they are following Jesus, but you don't see them studying the word of God. You don't see them referring to the word of God. And you find that when you don't plant yourself in reading the word of God, in taking the scripture and applying it in your lives, your life becomes dry because there's nothing that's feeding. The word of God is not feeding your walk, daily walk with Jesus. See, Jesus, even though he was God's son, he was divine yet human. He spent time with the Father. Even he spent time with the Father. Every morning, that's what he did. He spent time with the Father because he knew that that relationship with his Father was absolutely important for him to do what God, his Father, had called him to do. He said, I do the works of him that sent me. It's not what I do, it's what my Father does. And in the same way, you and I, our Father, has a job for us, has a job for us to do. And the only way that we can accomplish that job is when we stay connected to our Father. Many times we find in life that we sometimes sit back and ask questions. Why isn't this happening to me? Why isn't this happening in my life? Why is my life always in turmoil? Check your connection with the Father. Because Jesus always connected with the Father. And you see what happened in Jesus' life. And in our lives too, we can talk about this. We can talk about reading the word. We can talk about praying. But if you are not actually reading the word, if you are not really praying, if you are not staying connected with the Father, then our lives can get dimmed. The light in us will start to grow dim. And something else begins to come in. Some of the world starts to creep in. And then our conscience gets affected as well. We don't see it black and white anymore. We see it as gray. And so our beliefs come into question because we don't see it the way that the scripture expounds it. We see it in the way that we want to see. And we interpret scripture the way we want to interpret scripture. And so you see that what's happening in some of the Christian circles today, that they're interpreting the scripture in such a way that it's taking them down and down and down. Because the enemy is very clever in wanting to change what God has said in his word. Did he not tell Eve in the Garden of Eden? Has God really said? Has he really said? Does the word of God really talk against sin? Really? Is a loving God? You know, how can he judge you? How can he be you know, how can it be so, what's the word I'm looking for, so judgmental about your life? He's a God of love. You know, he will surely be okay with it. As much as God is a God of love, he's a God of judgment as well. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of holiness. And so sometimes we take what we want and we leave the rest. We are walking with Jesus. We are walking in the light when we abide in God and his word abides in us. His word must abide in you. John 15 and verse 7 talks about that. Whatever you ask, it says, whatever you ask, it shall be done. Whatever you ask, it shall be done. But what are the conditions when you abide in God, when you abide in his word? We have to desire to walk in holiness. Holiness doesn't just come. We have got to desire it. As much as we desire to be somebody in life, as much as we desire to, you know, to get our degrees or to get where we want to in life, we want to get a house, want to buy a house, we desire it, we put some effort into it, and we try our best to get a hold of it. In the same way, we got to desire, put some effort into it, want to really walk in holiness, want to walk in the light of Jesus Christ. It has to be a desire that comes. It has to be something that when we desire to do that, it becomes part and parcel of us. It becomes natural for us to walk in the light, so that when we step into something that's of darkness, we immediately recognize it, that this is not of the light. How many know that? That when you walk in the light, the moment you step into something that is of darkness, you feel an uneasiness. You go to some areas. This happens when I go into Camden. So I go into Camden Market. You know, when you go into Camden Market, you know, they feel a kind of, you know, a sense of, you know. The spirit there is something else. I don't know. Have you been to Camden Market? You know, you feel that, you know, the atmosphere is different. Why? Because you are a child of the light. And when you walk into dark places, you know it. You know, it's not just smiling at you saying, come, come, come. No, it says, whoa, you know, big red sign, whoa, stop. This is a no-go area. That's what happens when you're a child in the walking in the light. Holiness and living in the light has to be our daily walk, has to be our daily lifestyle. Holiness, walking in the light of Jesus Christ. See, walking is also related to growth and maturity. When you're walking in the light of Jesus, who is the light, then we have got to see growth. We have got to see maturity. We cannot be babies all the time. You have a baby, you don't want that baby to remain a baby. You want that baby to grow up. You want that baby to mature. In the same way, when we are walking in the light of Jesus, we got to see some growth. We got to see some maturity. If I was the same as I was last year, if you haven't seen any maturity or growth in my life, there is a problem. Because if I'm walking in the light, I must see some growth and some maturity. And so I just want to encourage us as a church this morning that in order to progress, in order to get to where God wants you in his time, in his purpose, when you get into the word of God, when you get your prayer life sorted out, when you're in communication with the Father, you will grow from strength to strength. You will grow from glory to glory. What you did last year will not be what you do this year, because you have grown and you have matured. You have gone through that cycle. You come out on the other side. A baby, we will not do what a baby does. You will not go and sit at the table and wait for someone to feed you. You will either use your fingers, if you're from my country or from that part of the world, and you will use your finger and you will eat yourself, or you will use a fork and knife or spoon and you will eat yourself. If you are fed, if I'm still being fed at my age, you look at me thinking, you have a problem. unless I'm physically, you know, unable to do it. And I think the same way in our spiritual life, in our spiritual growth, if we are still being spoon-fed all the time, then there is a problem. The light of Jesus Christ in us should cause us to grow and to mature to a place where we follow that cycle, and then from there we grow even more. It doesn't stop. It's like a tree. It keeps growing and growing and growing. And so walking in the light causes growth and maturity. When we starve ourselves from the Word of God, what do we choose? We choose to then walk in the hidden places. Because what happens is we choose the hidden things. Our lives become secretive. And that's why we don't agree with secret societies. Because God's Word is light. There cannot be secrets when there is light. Everything gets exposed to the light. You need to be very careful of secretive societies that clothe themselves or try to bring out that an image of, oh, this is Christianity. It ain't Christianity. Because if it is secretive, it's not of Christ. There are no secret service agents of Jesus Christ. We are all children of the light. We walk with exposure. They will say, come, see my life. It's an open book to you. I don't hide anything. I don't need to hide anything. And that's what it's about. Our lives have to be open so people can see who we really are. When we walk in the light, we don't live secretive lives. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, here's a key scripture that God has provided for our maturity. And it says this. And Jesus, he says this, Jesus, Paul writing to the Ephesian church, he says it was Jesus, say Jesus. It was Jesus who gave some to be apostles. They are the sent ones, or the ones who is sent, the one who is sent. Some to be prophets, those who carry the message of God. Some to be evangelists, those who preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Some to be pastors, those who shepherd the flock of God. And some to be teachers, those who can teach the word of God. Jesus gave some to be, excuse me, apostles, some to be prophets, some to be teachers, pastors, and some to be teachers. We call this the fivefold ministry. Maturity comes when we learn to be a disciple under God-given ministries. Many times we seek for all these, we seek for the fivefold ministry. But that comes through being willing to come under men and women of God who carry these giftings, to be able to learn, to be able to sit under their teaching, to be able to learn from them. Because maturity comes through being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when God has placed people in the gifts, in the fivefold ministry, and when we come under that ministry, it impacts our lives. We as a church, we have an apostolic covering. We have prophetic covering. We are connected to a group of churches that are driven, that are come together with one purpose, and that is the kingdom of God to be established. That is for people to come to know Jesus. It is an expression of the mandate that Jesus Christ himself gave us. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the mandate that God has given us. And so we come under a covering that has an apostolic outlook. In other words, we break new ground. That's what apostles do. They break new ground. It has a prophetic utterance. What does that mean? It means that we hear the voice of God and we speak what God is saying. Because what God is saying can open the doors to the things that are to come. God speaks in the prophetic. God speaks for those things that are yet to come. And when we come under that covering, we become part of that. A groundbreaking church. We become a church that are able to give, to prophesy and speak in the name of Jesus. Coming under these ministries involves discipline. It involves taking some correction. It involves being humble, being willing to learn, and saying, right, I'm here. Not for the short term, I'm here for the long haul. But God, you've got to teach me. How does God teach you? Through other people. He uses other people, gifted men and women of God, to teach us. But we've got to be willing to learn. So there are two purposes for these ministries. One is to prepare us for the works of service. If you read that scripture, a few scriptures on, you will see the purpose of that. The fivefold is to equip the saints, correct? That's what some of your translators will say. So to prepare us for works of service. And we always know that there is a preparation time before the serving time. How many know that? Before you can serve, you got to prepare. It's like food. You got to prepare it before you can serve it. If not, you'll be serving raw vegetables and raw meat. Now, in some cultures, that might be okay. But I'm sure in our culture, that won't be okay. Raw meat on the table won't be good. So we got to prepare to serve. We get trained. We get discipline in our lives to serve in areas of ministry. The second purpose is to build the body of Christ. That's why God gives the fivefold ministry, is to build the body of Jesus Christ. God places these ministries in the body to bring us into unity, to bring us into the unity of faith and maturity in Jesus. That's why he does it. That's why we have apostles, we have prophets, we have teachers, we have pastors, we have evangelists, so that we can be equipped as a church. We can be equipped for what purpose? Is to build and establish the kingdom of God. That's why we are here. See, when Jenny and I, before we came here, we were trained under an apostle. Amazing man of God, passionate for God. Such a passion that I caught that passion. I think when I first came here, I was probably as hard as he was. Because he was not easy on us. He was hard on us, but he was loving and he was kind. But through his kindness, he trained us. Through his hardness, he disciplined us. And so I learned under that. I had to sit under that ministry. And under that ministry, we learned the prophetic utterance. We learned to hear the Holy Spirit. We learned so many things on evangelism. We learned because we were willing to sit under ministers that God had placed over us. Now, was it easy? It wasn't easy. It took a lot of time and effort. Our children were very small at the time. And so it took us a lot of effort, a lot of time, bundling Sean and Shane as well. You know, and going for these things and being trained and getting trained. Preparation time before serving time. There's always a preparation time. And how many know when you prepare a meal, it takes time, it takes effort. It doesn't all come together, you know, just like that. Ministry does the same thing. Before we can get into ministry, there's a preparation time. And that time for some sometimes can be hard. That's the time God is testing us. He's saying, are you able to withstand the pressures of life? Are you able to prioritize my kingdom with everything else that you have to do? How are you going to do it? Are you willing to take that extra step of faith when you know everything tells you otherwise, your body is telling you something else, but you know your spirit man is telling you, come on, you can take that, you can take that step by faith. And those are the, these are the things that God brings into our lives that causes us to change, causes us to grow. Our character changes. Who we are changes. If you met me 10, 15 years ago, I was such a different person. I was very quiet. Ask my wife. God has changed me. He's changed my life. And that's what God does, because He prepared me for this place. But it took discipline. It took commitment. It took attending whatever that was put at us and say, okay, yes, Pastor, we'll be there. Do you know how? Oh, yeah, we'll be there. But that's the kind of training and discipline that God uses in our lives, because He's perfecting us. We're not perfect, but He's doing it. And the more we allow Him to perfect us, the more of Him will be seen in us. The more of His glory, the more of His power. And so I want to encourage you, and I don't want to discourage you. So, oh no, that can't be. It's so too difficult. In Christ Jesus, in the light, it's not hard, because you know whom you're serving. It's a joy to serve. And you know something? When we go through that period of serving, our children carry on. That pattern goes down to our children. And that's so important. Because what we want to leave behind is something that we have caught in the Spirit. And today, if you look at our children, you will see that. There's a sense of maturity. There's a sense of purpose. There's a passion. And I believe that comes from us who are passionate, because we have caught something. And if you want your children to catch something, then you got to catch it first. You got to walk in the light first. You got to demonstrate kingdom principles. And then they will see it. And that will follow through in their lives. And that's such an important lesson that many times we forget. But that's how God works. He works through generations. My father was a pastor, as you probably know. So he works through the generations. What's coming behind me, I can't say, but I know that there's going to be that line, pastoral line, that goes down the generations. Because that's how God works. He operates through people generationally. And you see that happening. A body grows when it is connected and joined together. Try and remove one part of your body and see whether it'll grow. Many Christians sadly live disjointed lives. That's very sad. When I see that, I feel very sad. And they expect somehow that they will grow and mature. But isn't that something false in that, isn't there? If you're disjointed, you cannot grow. But somehow the enemy has, you know, twisted our thinking to think, no, you can grow, you can be independent and, you know, have your own little world and you can grow. See, when I went yesterday for prayer, one of the reasons I went was because I thought I need to connect with the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ is just not us here or just the churches that we know. It's all the churches that are coming together. And I thought, I need to connect with them because it's one body. I mentioned that they got me to speak yesterday. And I mentioned that. I said, we are one body. There aren't two bodies. It's one body. We might dress differently. Bob's in a fantastic suit today, you know. But we are one body. We belong to the same body of Jesus Christ. And so, where's it going with that? Somewhere. Never mind. Connecting. We got to connect. Our bodies need to be connected. We need to connect with one another. Now, that's what I was going. We see disjointed bodies. Growth can only come through Jesus Christ, because from Him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, and it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its bit. Did you know that that was in the scripture? That we as a body, every joint has to supply, every joint has to make sure that it is functioning. We cannot have a dysfunctional joint. It affects the whole body. And I think that's something that we have to take on board as individuals, as those who are of the body of Jesus Christ. It says in Ephesians 4 and verse 16, have a look at that scripture. Ephesians 4, where every joint supplies. That's what it says. Every joint supplies. So a joint doesn't always keep receiving. It's got to keep connected. It's got to do its job. That is function that it's made to do. My brain has got to do the thinking. My hand has got to do the moving, the picking up, the grasping. My leg has got to do the walking. Just sitting there as a leg doesn't help. It's got to do something. And we as a body, we are the body of Jesus Christ. And God wants us to be active. God wants us to be connected. God wants us to supply with His spiritual ability and power, with His strength and ability to supply one another with that which God has given us. We are there to strengthen, encourage, edify one another. That's why we are placed in the body of Jesus Christ. It is therefore important that we as a body stay connected, stay active, and that we walk in the light of God's word, so that the whole body gets edified and strengthened. When we all walk in the light, there is a strength, there is a blessing, there is an edification that comes. But there's also sadness that comes when somebody walks away from the light. There's a strengthening that comes with connecting in the light. There's a sadness when someone walks away from the light. There's a sadness when someone walks away from the body of Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us, if we walk in the light, God Himself being the light, we also experience shared life with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. In Ephesians 5 and verse 8, it tells this. Says this, tell your neighbor this. This is for you. Says, now you are light in the Lord. Is that good? Says, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's a command, isn't it? Walk as children of light. When we walk in the light, darkness has nothing to do with it. Cannot have anything to do with the light. In Matthew 5 and verse 16, we read this scripture, Matthew 5 and verse 16. It says, let your light so shine. Let your light shine so others can see it. And then they will see the good things you do. And they will bring glory to the Father who is in heaven. Is it God's plan for us to shine as lights? Absolutely. Can we pray that prayer? That God, I want to shine for you. I want to be a light, a lighthouse, a light in this dark world. Yes, we can. And will God hear that prayer? Of course He will. Why? Because that's what His word says. He says, walk as children of the light. But how many know that without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to walk as children of the light? We need the Holy Spirit to help us every day because our sinful nature is sometimes so powerful and can overpower our nature, our spiritual nature, our spiritual side, our God connection, if I put it that way. The world, the flesh can overpower it. And so we need the Holy Spirit to remind us every day, to renew our mind, to renew our thinking, to be careful of what actions we take, what we do, to be careful that we don't get into things of the dark, but we stay in the things of the light. It is God's plan for us to become more and more like Jesus. The more and more the light shines through us and in us, the more and more we become like Jesus. How many want to be more and more like Jesus? Then let the light of Jesus Christ shine more and more in you. Jesus loves you. Jesus, he desires to have a relationship with you. He desires to give you a full life, not a half-filled one. He wants to give us a life that is filled to the brim, to the top, a life full of joy, a life full of purpose. It is only Jesus who can go into our past. We cannot go back there, but Jesus can. He can go back to our past and he can change it. He can transform it. He can cleanse our past and bring it back and bring our lives to a place where we now can stand in the light, where darkness has nothing to do with us. Only Jesus can do that. He can remove your past and wipe your slate clean. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and tomorrow he'll still be the same. He's the same Lord, he's the same Jesus who rose from the dead. He knows the worst about you, but yet he believes the best. He knows the worst, but yet he believes the best. While we were yet in sin, Christ died. We were at our worst situation, condition. But that didn't stop Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you and for me. While we were yet in sin, Christ died. Why? Because he knows the worst about us, but yet he believes the best. He believes the best. Because he sees you not as you are, but he sees you as his child when he gets through with you. Hallelujah. You can trust Jesus this morning. You can trust him. And I had that scripture earlier from Psalm 122. You can trust Jesus. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. And sometimes we think, God, where are you? Are you sleeping? Because things don't happen in our timetable, do they? Why? We often ask why. Today I've stopped asking why. Because it's no point asking why. It's better to say, thank you, Lord. Whatever situation I'm going through, I know you are perfecting me. My character is being changed. I know there's a delay. I would love these things to happen now. But God, help me to walk this journey, to stay faithful to your call, to keep reading your word, to keep praying. And I know, Lord, that at the right time, in your plan, according to your plan and purpose, you will bring it to pass. See, if I was made a pastor 20 years ago, I'd have failed. Terribly, miserably failed. God knows the timing. If something is done prematurely, you'll fail. You've got to wait for the right time, for that maturity to come through. How does it come through? Living in the light of Jesus Christ. Living in the Word, which is God's demonstration of love, his love letter to us. It's living in the word. Not do you hear me right? It's living, not just reading. It is living in the word. It is living out of the word. It is allowing literally the word living in you being brought out of you. That's why Paul said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. You can trust him. His plans for you are good. He's got good plans. Now, you may not think that, looking at your whatever situation you're going through. You might think, oh, no, that can't be right. I'm in a lousy place. I'm in a terrible place. How can this be good? But God says all things work together for good. I was speaking to somebody Saturday morning. And things are not going that well. And I was saying, you know, sometimes we go through situations. You don't know why. But you know, I said, I hang on to this scripture. Because I know I'm a child of God. Do you know a child? He said, yeah, absolutely. Right, good. That's the first thing we need to recognize. When you're a child of God and you know it, then you should know that all things work together for good to them that love Jesus. If not, that scripture would be in vain. We might as well take it out. But we got to believe that all things work together for good. If you read Hebrews 11, you read about the patriarchs that I'd love to be in the season where Jesus was, but they believed in faith. That's what you read there, didn't you, isn't it? Hebrews 11, have a read through that. They believed in faith. You and I have to believe in faith that what God has said in His Word will come to pass. But if we get too impatient and if we start negating God's Word, if we start speaking into our lives all the negative stuff, you know, it's never going to happen, it's never going to come through, you know what? It's going to be more and more delayed. See, God is not going to remove it out of us, thank God for that. But because of our confession, because of our lack of faith in us, we are not willing to stand on God's Word and keep confessing it and declaring it. God is able to bring it much quicker and much sooner, I believe that. When we begin to confess it and declare it and live in faith and say, God, I'm believing you for this. I'm not seeing it now, but I know your Word says this, so I'll stand on your Word and I will believe it. Jesus has a fantastic plan for our lives, a great future for us. But we got to get a hold of it and keep believing it and trusting Him. He listens to us. He listens to every prayer. Do we desire to genuinely walk in the light? Let's all stand this morning. Do we desire to genuinely walk in the light? And as the musicians, as they play this morning, I just want us to examine our own lives. Only we can do that because we know where we are. And today I want to encourage you. You know that if you're feeling that kind of person, you're not sure, you know, you're thinking, I'm struggling here. That's a good place to be. It's good because God can do something out of our brokenness. And God's here to heal us. Could be something that may have happened in the past, but still keeps bombarding our minds. Something that takes us from walking in the light to somehow, for a moment, step out to ponder, to go back on whatever that happened that was of darkness. Today, God can heal you completely. That can be forgotten. That's gone. That's finished. It's past. There's no bearing on our lives anymore. The enemy always wants to take us back. Because when we go back, we have to retrace our steps to go forward. But let's mark that road ahead of us. And let's take steps to reach the goal of the call of God in our lives. God has called us. He's chosen us. We are unique in Him. His plan is not a flawed plan. It's a perfect plan. It's a great plan. And let's trust Jesus. God, I thank you that you bring into my life that perfect plan. I know, Lord, my life has been up and down, messed up. People have messed me around. But God, I know you can heal me today. If that's you today, I just want you to say that in your heart. Say, Jesus, you can fix my life today. You can heal my heart today. You can take away the pain. You can take away that achy feeling that I have, that my heart aches. My life is so disjointed. Oh God, heal me. Heal me, Lord. You don't have to raise any hands or anything, because God knows who you are. Just that simple prayer. Say, Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. Now, God, I pray this morning that as your people are calling to you, Lord, this morning, Holy Spirit, you are here. Only you can heal the hearts of those who are yearning, who are aching, who have felt disappointment in their lives. Normally don't do this. Usually not. So keep playing. That's fine. But I just sense that some with a broken heart. You have been disappointed over and over again. I really believe today, Jesus, that Jesus can heal you. He wants to heal you. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, it's just to give some of those who are, you know, going through a difficult time, where life is not easy, it's a struggle. I mean, life on the whole ain't easy. But this is even, it goes beyond that. And you know what? I just want you to be bold this morning. And if you are, you keep playing, that's fine. If you're struggling today, it's okay to say, yes, I am. I need prayer. I need someone to connect with me. I need someone to pray with me. I need a breakthrough in my life. If that's you this morning, just slip your hand up very quickly. Just very quickly. Just very quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Just very quickly. Just slip your hand up. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you with your hands up, just keep it up for a moment. Just keep it up for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. I just want others who are around, you know, just to Bob Ildefons, Simon, Sue, people, you know, who are around them, to just lay hands on them. You don't ask what it is, but I just want to pray that God will heal that heart, those disappointments, those let down, where people have let you down over and over again, that today Jesus will heal you. Just put your hand up again if you need prayer. Don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Prayer can break your situation this morning. It could be that you came here today just for that one prayer, just for that one thing to happen in your life, that God God can heal your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord.